Call to order. The Committee on Energy, Utilities, Environment, and Climate will come to order. It's Monday, March 4th at 12:30, and we're in room 1150 in the Minnesota Senate building. A quorum is present. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to start by hearing Senator McEwen's bill, Senate File 3949. Senator McEwen, welcome to your committee. Please present the bill. I understand you have an A1 amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. I do have an A1 amendment.
Senator McEwen offers the A1 amendment. Senator McEwen, do you want to speak to the amendment?
I guess I will just briefly say that there is a whole coalition behind this bill, and the members of that coalition have been working diligently to bring up any concerns that they have, changes that they really would need to see. And the A1 amendment reflects just that work that has been done in coalition.
Thanks, Senator McEwen. Members, any questions for Senator McEwen on the A1 before we vote the A1 on? Seeing none, all in favor of adopting the A1 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The amendment is adopted. Senator McEwen, to your bill as amended.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for hearing this bill today. Senate File 3949, as amended, allows the Commissioner of Transportation to construct, place, or maintain high-voltage transmission lines along highways and roadways, except as deemed necessary to protect public safety or ensure the proper function of the highway. If the commissioner denies a high-voltage transmission line co-location request, the commissioner must submit the reasons for the denial to the chairs and ranking minority members of the committees with jurisdiction over energy and transportation, the Public Utilities Commission Executive Secretary, and the Commissioner of Commerce for their review within 90 days of the denial. So really, Mr. Chair and members, this bill is really geared toward wanting to make sure that we use existing thoroughfares that are already there when at all possible. This allows us to not encroach on private landowners and to try to create new pathways for these transmission lines. And we anticipate that there is going to be a lot of activity, especially as we transition to a clean energy economy. So we want to make sure that we've set the table for doing that in the most effective way. And I also, Mr. Chair, have some people here to testify.
Thank you, Senator McEwen. For our testifiers, we're going to go in the order that it's listed on today's agenda. Our first testifier would be Aurora Vautrin. Ms. Vautrin, please come forward. Welcome back to the committee. Go ahead and introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Chair Friends, members of the committee, my name is Aurora Vautrin, and I'm the legislative director for 100%. I want to thank Senator McEwen for her leadership on Senate File 3949, the Next Generation Highway Act. A little over a year ago, this body passed nation-leading legislation to get Minnesota to 100% clean electricity by 2040, making a promise to Minnesotans to do everything possible to decarbonize our electricity sector as long as it is safe, reliable, and affordable. The Next Generation Highway Act is a common sense, strategic, and well-placed piece of the puzzle to keep our word to Minnesotans. We know that in order to meet our goals, we have work to do to build the transmission lines necessary to connect our clean energy from where it's generated to the people and places that need it. But we'll need to do more than that. We're going to need highways that to function as multifaceted public infrastructure. We'll need them to be safe and reliable for drivers, of course, but they are also an ideal place for transmission, communications infrastructure, electric vehicle charging, and transit stops. Building infrastructure for the public on existing public infrastructure is a simple yet effective solution to our clean energy needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Vautrin. Next, we'll have Madeline Samario from Clean Grid Alliance, and on deck, Kayla Christensen. Welcome back to the committee. Please introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Friends and members of the committee. My name is Madeline Smarillo, and I'm a regional policy manager with Clean Grid Alliance, a nonprofit organization headquartered in St. Paul and working in 9 Midwest states to advance clean energy like wind, solar, and storage. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senate File 3949, which protects access to highway rights of way for high voltage transmission lines. SF 3949 empowers our state to enable the robust development of necessary energy infrastructure while preserving MnDOT's ability to protect public safety. Minnesota has insufficient transmission capacity. You've heard it time and time again. We need more transmission to support our changing electric needs, and this contributes to expensive congestion in grid operations and interconnection delays. Significant new transmission infrastructure is essential to enable the thousands of megawatts of carbon-free renewable energy that will need to come online by 2040. High-voltage transmission lines currently average 7 to 10 years from MISO approval to operations, but SF3949 presents an opportunity to expedite this process by using existing rights of way when possible. CGA has heard from developer members as well as utility regulators across the Midwest that access to all types of rights of way for transmission development is helpful in routing processes. In a time when Minnesota is pursuing ambitious carbon reduction and electrification goals, we need to use all available resources to comply with the standards we've set. This is an all-hands-on-deck effort. Legislators, utilities and regulators, industry and labor, NGOs, and notably state agencies need to participate. We've established that it is the policy of the state to reach 100% carbon-free electricity by 2040. Transmission is essential to getting this there reliably and affordably. The more efficiently we can build out transmission without taking away from our thorough public input and environmental review processes, the better. In conclusion, CGA supports Senate File 3949, striking a balance between fostering transmission development and prioritizing public safety. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Merlo. Members, we'll hold all our questions till all the testifiers have come forward. Next, we'll have Kayla Christensen. On deck, Mike Bull. Ms. Christensen, welcome back to the committee. Please introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Yes, Chair Friends and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. And thank you to Senator McEwen for bringing the bill forward. My name is Kayla Christensen, and I am the Executive Director of the Minnesota Conservative Energy Forum, a nonprofit education and advocacy organization that promotes a market-based, all-of-the-approach energy strategy for Minnesota. I'm pleased to be here today to share MNCEF's support for Senate File 3949 as amended. As more projects are built and new innovations in energy come to market, and especially with the legislature's 100% carbon-free by 2040 mandate, we will need to significantly increase our transmission capacity. This will be a challenge as it will be more difficult to secure landowner agreements for transmission lines because landowners typically only get a one-time payment as opposed to a long-term leases for wind or solar. This legislation would help alleviate much of that heartburn around these projects. You may hear opponents say new transmission lines aren't actually needed, rather the only reason they're being built is because of renewables and these mandates, when in truth, Minnesota is 15 years behind in transmission. That means we are at least 15 plus years behind in transmission with the 100% mandate enacted by last year's legislative session. MNCEF's field program, the Minnesota Land and Liberty Coalition, serves as a resource and provides education across the state to the public and to local policymakers, often in areas where utility scale renewable projects are being proposed. We are able to hear directly from Minnesotans affected by these projects, and while some are opposed to the actual wind turbines or solar panels, if a project has a transmission line included, that is when we often hear the most questions and concerns. The leading questions are, one, why can't we bury the lines? And two, why can't we put them along roads where there's already this kind of infrastructure? The answer to the first question, as you know, is it's extremely expensive to bury high voltage transmission lines, and there are many much more difficult to repair. But the answer to the second question is one we've been seeking for a number of years. Landowners are often aware of our transmission needs, but they see the land along transportation corridors already developed to serve the public, not able to be used for co-location. Instead, they see developers seeking private land by agreement or in some cases with utilities using eminent domain to site transmission. Our constituents are asking for this. MnDOT has been called to the table to help remove the significant roadblock to meeting our energy needs and creating a stronger, more resilient power grid. They provide numeral essential services from ensuring our roads are safe and caring for them through extreme weather. They have an obligation and a duty to also ensure other essential services we depend on are developed in the most efficient way possible. Minnesota's energy needs are one of these essential services, and it has been frustrating, however, to see that their resistance and at times refusal to come to the table around access to transmission corridor for energy needs. This legislation provides the opportunity to maximize utilization of existing resources, prioritize expediency, minimize cost of acquiring land, and protect private property rights while still ensuring the highest standards of safety as the projects will still be required to go through stringent review during the PUC permitting process. We urge you to support Senate File 3949 as amended. Thank you for your consideration, and we look forward to continuing the work.
Thank you, Ms. Christensen. Next, we'll hear from Mike Bull, and following Mr. Bull, testimony from Joe Hoppe. Mr. Bull, welcome back to the committee. Nice to see you again. Please introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Mike Bull. I'm a senior policy advisor to the elite family of businesses, emphasis on senior because I'm old. That family of businesses includes Minnesota Power, the public utility that provides reliable and affordable service to residents and businesses across northeastern Minnesota. And today, Minnesota Power is the most renewable public utility in the state, providing customers with electricity that is nearly 60% renewable. We appreciate the opportunity to add our voice in favor of Senate File 3949 as amended, and thank the committee for adopting that amendment. We really thank Senator McEwen for her leadership on this bill. There's been a lot of work and discussion that led to this, the draft that's in front of you, and to the NextGen Highway Coalition and the Minnesota Department of Transportation for their engagement and work on the bill as well. We had expressed concerns about potential cost shifts in the bill as it was introduced, but strongly support the important emphasis on the use of highway rights-of-way for high-voltage transmission lines as we work to add critical transmission capacity in the state and reliably transition our system to cleaner forms of electricity. We also support the important language regarding the safe use of these rights-of-way and the continued authority of the Commissioner of Transportation to protect public safety and ensure the proper function of the highway network. We think the language in the DE amendment strikes an appropriate balance between the competing interests involved in the legislation, including the interests of landowners where transmission lines might be sited in the absence of the legislation. So taking a step back, others have raised this to you as well. Last session, you required Minnesota Electric Utilities to take on the Herculean task of reaching 100% carbon-free electricity within 16 short years. I'd ask you to look at every piece of legislation that comes forward this year and next and the year after and ask, does this help Minnesota utilities reach that 100% by 2040? Senate File 3949, as amended, would help us meet 100% by 2040 reliably, affordably, equitably, and we urge your support. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bull. Now we'll hear from Joe Hoppe. Mr. Hoppe, if you could come forward. Welcome back to the committee. Please introduce yourself and present your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I am Joe Hoppe with Otter Tail Power Company, and I would like to thank Senator McEwen for her leadership and the advocates of this bill for the delete all amendment. As we all know, a lot of times when bills are introduced, they're not quite what everybody is going to love, and I really appreciate it when people get together and are willing to compromise and work on things, and we think the delete all amendment here is a good example of that. At Otter Tail, we have people that work with MnDOT. I can't say it's every day, but every week, all the time. We've had a good relationship with them, and we hope that this legislation will further that good relationship. And with that, I will stand for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hoppe. Members, we have an online testifier, Randy Satterfield. Mr. Satterfield, I see you on the Zoom there. Are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you very much for appearing before the committee. If you could start by introducing yourself and then present your testimony.
Sure. Chair Friends, Vice Chair Shion, Senate Lead Matthews, and members of the committee, I am Randy Satterfield, Executive Director of NextGen Highways. NextGen Highways is an initiative of the Great Plains Institute. GPI is based in Minneapolis. I do need to say that if you hear background noise, I apologize. I'm in the airport in Denver. NextGen Highways appreciates the opportunity to provide testimony on Senate File 3949. We applaud this committee's consideration of important provisions related to accelerating deployment of high-voltage transmission infrastructure critical to Minnesota's energy future. NextGen Highways Minnesota is a coalition of labor, industry, and environmental partners who support policies that can help speed up the process of siting transmission lines while also impacting fewer landowners and communities. Simply put, NextGen Highways Minnesota seeks to give utilities and transmission developers another tool in their toolbox for siting high voltage transmission. NextGen Highways has its roots in Minnesota and neighboring Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, where utilities and the DOT have been successfully siting transmission in state and federally funded highway rights of way for nearly 20 years. NextGen Highways collaborated with the Minnesota Department of Transportation over a period of nearly 2 years to investigate the feasibility of siting transmission in interstate rights of way, culminating in a feasibility study published in the spring of 2022. While this study identified critical considerations for successfully siting transmission in highway rights of way, all challenges identified are surmountable through proactive coordination and planning between the utility and the DOT. SF3949 provides a highly popular option to ensure all public rights of way along interstates and highways are open to co-location of high voltage transmission. The state regulations currently prohibiting this option in interstate rights of way are based on both old federal guidance that's since been rescinded and arbitrary state statutes that have nothing to do with the technical, economic, or social feasibility of constructing high voltage transmission in interstate rights of way. Moreover, nearly 80% of Minnesotans who said they preferred co-location of transmission with public rights of way suggest this is a policy that must be passed now. The urgency is real. Minnesota committed to 100% carbon-free electricity by 2040, just 16 years from now. In the world of transmission planning and development, that's barely a blink of an eye. We appreciate the committee's consideration, Senator McEwen's leadership, and we ask for your support of this important policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Satterfield. Before we go to any member questions, are there any members of the public who were not listed who would like to testify to Senate File 3949? All right, seeing none, we'll go to member questions. And for the information of committee members, it's our intention to pass this out and send it to transportation. Members, any questions for Senator McEwen? Senator Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Of course, I have questions. I was reading through the bill, Senator, and the first question that came to my mind is there a problem with the DOT now that that caused you to bring this bill forward? Because it seems like it just got kind of yanked out of midair. So have you talked to the DOT on this and where they stand on these transmission lines?
Senator McEwen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Green. I know that the coalition partners have been in discussion with DOT on this, and but specifically, I don't know the answer to your question of what actually precipitated needing to go ahead and just make this very clear.
Senator Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there anybody from the DOT here today?
Senator Green.
This might be something we address in transpo too.
Yeah, we're sending it to transportation, but we may have someone here from MnDOT. Anyone from MnDOT willing to step forward? I see Mr. Radin. Thank you, Senator Green. So welcome back to the committee. If you could introduce yourself and address the senator's question.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Eric Radin with MnDOT Government Affairs. And interstates have been treated differently than other trunk highways, so this would be a new activity for us to put transmission lines along and on trunk highway right-of-way on the interstate system. So it's a conversation that started last year with some changes that were made to statute, in the transportation bill last year. So this I would view as the next step to having those high voltage transmission lines located on interstates. It's something the state of Wisconsin has done for about the last 20 years, but there are not a lot of states who do allow it on interstates. So. I think we certainly see the need for it with transitioning to a greener energy, which has more more needs for transmission lines. So hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you, Mr. Radin. Senator Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, when I was reading through it, the only thing I could come up with as to why they wouldn't want to be there is right-of-way issues. If you ever have to do maintenance on the roads, and then you would have to, if they have to be relocated. Now, would in this bill, would the Department of Transportation have to pay the utilities if they had to be moved during reconstruction?
Thank you, Senator Green. Mr. Radin, and feel free to comment on the state of Wisconsin and their experience if that helps you.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Chair. Senator, yes, we would have to pay to move those on interstate right-of-way. That's a bit of a unique situation in state law, where if utilities have to be relocated on other trunk highways, it's at the utility expense, but on interstates, it would be at the department's expense. And so, you know, we would try to work with the utilities to make sure that their poles that were installed were located in such a way that hopefully they don't have to be moved. We worked with the CapEx project, you know, to try to do that along Interstate 94. If we had an interchange where we thought there might be a project coming up, you know, even in the next decade or two, we tried to move those or have those poles located so that they wouldn't have to be relocated. But in the event that they would have to be relocated, then yes, it would be at the department's expense.
Thanks, Mr. Dean. Senator Green, the previous testifier, Mr. Satterfield, raised his hand. I wonder if we could go to him to try to help answer
Sure.
your concern. Mr. Satterfield, did I get that right? You had your hand up?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Fire away.
Committee members, just a couple of points to footnote what's been discussed. So I testified that we had spent, NextGen Highways had spent the better part of 2 years working with MnDOT, examining the feasibility of placing high voltage transmission in highway and interstate highway rights of way. And the DOT prohibition to co-location in interstate highway rights of way was one of the issues that came up as part of that study. That's what we're trying to address today for the previous commenters, right, to sync up both interstates, the allowance on state trunk highways, to sync that up to interstate highways. And then just a quick note on the experience in Wisconsin. I spent nearly 20 years at American Transmission Company, the transmission-only utility in Wisconsin, leading routing, siting, and permitting teams. And in Wisconsin, we sited and permitted more than 200 miles of high-voltage transmission in all variety of highways in Wisconsin, everything from two-lane state trunk highways all the way up to near, I guess, just a little bit more than 100 miles of 345 kV in the Interstate 90-94 corridor between roughly the Wisconsin Dells and La Crosse, Wisconsin. And in that time, right, citing those more than 200 miles over the last nearly 20 years, not one pole has been requested to be moved by WISDOT. And the reason for that is through close collaboration and planning, right, between the utility and the DOT. So while relocation and cost certainly is of concern, when the utility and the Department of Transportation collaborate and plan effectively, the experience in Wisconsin shows that relocation can largely be avoided. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Mr. Satterfield. Senator Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that does give me a little bit of ease there, because the, as you know, whenever the Department of Transportation gets excess cost, our very slim budget for our Department of Transportation that doesn't seem to ever stretch far enough is going to have to be stretched further, and the taxpayers are going to pay for that. So it's good to know that they're working together. So the last question is, has there been an issue with the Department of Transportation and the utilities as to why this bill is necessary?
Senator McEwen or Mr. Radin, either one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Green, for that question. And I do not know the answer to that question.
I don't know if there's perhaps any other people who do.
Mr. Radin, you want to take a crack at that?
Yeah, Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I guess I would just say that, you know, previously it hadn't been allowed in Minnesota. So I think that's the issue that the legislation is trying to address. It's an old federal prohibition that, as was noted in some of the previous testimony, no longer exists. So it's just kind of a remnant, I think, of that. I don't know that there's any specific proposal today that we're trying to address, but you know, I think it's to at least allow the option moving forward.
Thanks, Mr. Dean. Senator Green?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. So then is it fair to say that the Department of Transportation is in favor of this bill or not?
Mr. Rudine?
Mr. Chair, Senator Green, we don't have any major concerns. I would say we're a little bit disappointed that the original bill did get to that relocation expense issue that we were talking about a minute ago. That's not in the Delete Everything amendment. So, you know, that was, as I said, a bit disappointing to us, but that's a conversation that we had a bit last year in the transportation bill, and we haven't been able to get the utilities to agree to that change. So that's kind of where we're at.
Thanks, Mr. Rudine. Senator Green.
One more question then for staff. Mr. Chair, because in this bill also it looks like the maybe not in the DE, but there was a provision for burying this under trails. Is this going to have to go to environment?
I don't believe so, but if staff want to take a shot at that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Green, they have not requested it. I will look closer at the language with the environment attorney, and maybe we'll talk to the environment CA to see, but so far, there's been no request.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Green. And just again, members, on the cost issue, we are supposed to send this to transportation where MnDOT costs are a proper item of discussion. So, Senator Green, you would have an opportunity, as would any member, to address that once it gets to transportation. With that, I have Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question that I have, we've been talking a lot about interstate highway right-of-ways, and as I look at the bill or the Delete Everything amendment, it talks about not only interstate highways, but any trunk highway, federally aided state trunk highway, et cetera, et cetera. And I have no problem with trying to get our utility right-of-ways into existing road right-of-ways. What I'm concerned about is the issue of property rights. Because if you put, in most of our rural districts, we all have a number of federal or state highway systems going through. And, you know, if there's, yeah, it looks like there's a lot of space, but if you put a power line along the edge of the right-of-way, at some point you're going to have a high voltage line that comes by a residence that's probably within a less distance than what typically is allowed. And I'm wondering, are we leading to a point where we're going to ignore those property rights like we have with the siting of solar farms? Because right now, you can build a solar farm right up to a residential property line and there's nothing, they don't have to abide by local zoning requirements. So what's going to keep that from happening in this scenario?
Excellent question, Senator Weber. Senator McEwen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator, for that question. We may have some testifiers who can offer some additional information. I know that the concern about needing to, or the amount that property rights would be encroached upon and wanting to minimize that is part of the reason that we brought this bill forward, because I share that concern. I don't want private property owners' rights to be encroached if in as much as possible we can avoid that. So this is my understanding of the way that this would work would significantly reduce the encroachment that would be possible. But I will defer to our testifiers who may know more specifics than I do.
Thank you, Senator McEwen. Ms. Christensen, welcome back to the testifiers table to Senator Weber's point about property rights.
Yes, thank you. Senator McEwen's exactly right. The purpose of this bill is to make sure as few landowners are affected as possible. and that utilities have this option to go along right-of-ways and avoid as many landowners as possible.
Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you're probably right in terms of the overall number of property owners that be affected. However, I would offer that probably the effect is going to be much greater on some of the property owners due to their presence of their homes, to the proximity of the road right-of-way, and what have you. And so I'm not sure you're actually achieving that at the end of the day with this piece of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Weber. We'll go to Senator Matthews, and then Senator Dibble. Senator Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have another small amendment I'd like to offer, and offer the A4 amendment.
Senator Matthews offers the A4 amendment. Members, just a moment. We'll get that passed out.
Can I please have a copy of the amendment as well?
Thank you.
All right, members, we're going to post this. Senator McEwen, assuming that you're taking a minute to look it over. Senator Matthews, let's go ahead to the A4 amendment. Senator Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the purpose of the underlying bill is to help with the discussion between utilities and MnDOT with these high voltage transmission lines. The goal of the A4 amendment is to try to put into focus another issue that we need to have in our mind with this whole transmission discussion, and that is the impact on local units of government that these lines get sited through, that they're proposed through. And so this amendment just gives local units of government a mechanism to have to receive notice on these lines that would be going through their jurisdictions, allow the local unit of government the chance to deny requests, make sure that there is local control in these places for reasons Senator Weber was just talking about, that that we need to the issue of property rights and the impact on homeowners and municipalities is going to be a real thing if we're going to have a large expansion of transmission lines, which everyone appears to act as a given right now at this point. And this is just to call into focus the fact that our local units of government absolutely need to have a seat at the table as well with this discussion. So I believe it fits within the framework of the bill and would urge members' support on the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Matthews. Senator McEwen to the A4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Matthews, for this proposal. I have our testifier here, Madeline Smirillo, who I'd like to be able to speak to the content of this, and then I'll also let you know, Mr. Chair, where I want to come down on it.
All right. Thank you, Senator McEwen. Ms. Smirillo, welcome back to the committee. Your testimony to the A4 amendment, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair Frentz, for the opportunity to speak. So this amendment, I understand where the intention is coming from, but I feel that the provisions within it are could be a bit redundant. So utilities, and there are many of them here represented that could speak to this, are already required to do robust public communication and notice given to local units of government, constituents that are affected by transmission lines as part of the existing permitting process. That's a big part of what they do, because without public support and without landowner buy-in, you're not going to be able to build a line in an efficient way and in a way that's going to be supportive to those communities. So it's already a part of what we're doing, what the transmission owners are doing. But then secondly, this amendment, the way that it's written, gives an unprecedented authority to local units of government to deny the location of a transmission line, which currently technically is under the PUC's authority. So a local unit of government, especially given statutes revolving around preemption and the way that we actually structure our siting and permitting process here in the state of Minnesota, that jurisdiction should continue to fall under the Public Utilities Commission. The local units of government have robust opportunity to participate in a public input setting during the siting and routing process, during the certificate of need process. You can see it ongoing right now with our tranche one transmission lines that are happening and public meetings going on for lines that were recently approved in Xcel's latest IRP. So you see that local units of government are already part of the conversation, already part of discussions of environmental review, scoping, and the things that utilities need to look at when they're getting these projects approved. So I think that, at least from CGA's perspective, this amendment is in part redundant and then also sets an unprecedented authority for local units of government that doesn't align with current statute. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Cirillo. I believe we're going to go to Senator Weber. Senator Weber, to the A4.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that it is correct. There is a robust permitting process, but I think that at the end of the day, local government feels just as ignored and as do the utility companies when it comes to MnDOT. And I think when you see large-scale projects coming into local communities, they should have some type of voice at the table, and other than just expressing something and then being ignored. And I think probably it seems to be time to change the format for a few things, and maybe this should be one of those changes as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Weber. We'll go to the author of the amendment, Senator Matthews, to the A4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the discussion, the comments on it. Just to give the other perspective again on it, I understand that there's communication that has to be done in these local communities, but communication and approval are two very different things. And I would not consider that the status quo that we have is a robust process, as Senator Weber just said. They can hold a number of meetings, they can explain what their project's gonna be, they can pat you on your head and listen to your concerns and say they're there and go ahead and do what they're going to do anyways. That's basically what the status quo model is. I think there's a lot of flaws with that model because I don't think there is a very big requirement for the actual buy-in that you need. Same with the Public Utility Commission. Yes, there's a mechanism. I wouldn't consider it necessarily robust, but there is a mechanism for them to intervene on a docket. If you're in small cities like many of the ones that I represent, it's often difficult to get to that docket to be able to talk and share their perspective. They're often hiring a lobbyist when they might not have a lot of leftover money in the budget, or trying to hire an expert, or join together with another municipality that might be in a similar situation. So it's not as easy as just saying, oh, there's a PUC process here and they have access to it, because it's really challenging. So this is a lot different from a lot of statutes. I think my contention is if we're shifting in this transportation mindset, we need to shift in what the siting process will look like. Yes, I have very strong language in here. I think we could keep massaging this over. I'm sure it's not exactly this for how it's stating, but the underlying goal of this amendment for sure is gonna have to be addressed along the way, or we're gonna open up a whole new can of worms of problems all over the state of Minnesota in trying to achieve your 2040 goals. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Matthews. First of all, Senator Dibble, I was assuming you wanted to speak, but not to the A4. Is that right? Okay, so given that, we're going to pause. Senator Dibble, go to the author of the amendment and then to Senator Grunhagen. Senator McEwen, to the A4.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, to the A4. And Senator Matthews, I just wanted to let you know that I share your concerns in this area. And I'm going to ask members respectfully to hold off on adopting this amendment today, but I'm very happy to look at it going forward and to see if there is some compromise that could be reached that could allay these concerns or a different way to address them, because that is also something that I'm very concerned about as well. So thank you for bringing it.
Thanks, Senator Brinkman. Senator Grunhagen, to the A4.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I would just voice my support for the A4, especially the local control. You know, having worked with local units of government, having served on local units of government, one of the things I've observed is that the state and federal government has gradually eroded the authorities of your local units of government. And it seems like every time you turn around, there's another law passed, state or federal, that erodes or minimizes the local input and control. And I think it is vitally important to have that input, because these are the people locally that are elected by this constituents to participate in what their community is going to do. And to cut them out of the process in terms of not having a voice to negate something, which they maybe know some of the consequences versus what the state and federal people want, I think is a disservice to local control. The other thing is, you know, we all know that a lot of this stuff has money behind it. So the people who will be pushing these agenda are going to be making money. And that has a blinding effect on common sense and rationale, where if you have local control, they can give you that input if they're empowered to be able to negate something that there's probably a better solution for. So I would encourage members to vote yes on this. And if it doesn't pass, I do appreciate your comment, Senator McEwen, that you're willing to look at it and put some language in here that would empower local control rather than erode the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Grunhagen. Members, any further comment to the A4 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Matthews, any final comments before we vote on the A4? All right. Members, all in favor of adopting the A4 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay. No.
The amendment fails. With that, the A4 is not adopted. We'll return now to the questions. I have Senator Dibble next on the list. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a note. I wanted to thank Senator Green for starting the discussion about the issue around relocation costs and what would occur in those instances, and you know, calling our attention to the fact that the language of the underlying bill, that part of it is not carried over to the A4. So I just wanted to give early notice to the chief author who serves on transportation, as well as everyone listening, that we are going to revisit that conversation. That I share that concern with Senator Green. I'm sensitive to use of the public right of way. I very, very much support the goals of this bill. I think, you know, a barrier to access the public rights of way for this public purpose, and this, you know, which is in the public's interest, is important to address. That being said, we do have a trust to look out on behalf of public assets and public resources. And so kind of the free and unfettered use of public right-of-way and hampering future transportation responsibilities and facilities development is probably not something that is desirable. So we're going to have more conversation about that in transportation. And then I was going to say to Senator Matthews, even though it's not state and local, if you do enter into a conversation with the chief author, we would entertain a modified version of that language in transportation. I'll allow it, but it probably will send you on to state and local government committee, so then we'll have to move quickly on this subject, because I think this is an important bill to pass this year. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Members, any further comment to the bill as amended? Senator Weber.
Just a question on process, Mr. Chair. We send the bill to transportation. Does it come back to your committee for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill, or?
Thank you, Senator Weber. It's not our intention at this point to put it back into an omnibus bill. I've said I don't really want an omnibus bill, although okay. We are still having conversations now that we have the budget forecast. It was our hope that this could travel separately, okay. And we're discussing that with our House counterparts and with the chief author, but that's our intention okay. At this okay. point.
Thank you.
Members, any other questions, comments, observations to Senate File 3949 as amended? Seeing none. The motion is Senator Zhang to pass Senate File 3949 and recommend that it be sent to the Transportation Committee. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Motion passes. Thank you, Senator McEwen. You're off to the Transportation Committee.
Thank you very much.
Members, a couple housekeeping matters to Senator Weber's point. Next week, we're planning to hear thanks for your patience while the Energy Committee staff and I work through some key phrasing. Just for a little forward spin, on Wednesday we're looking at hearing the Single Metered Utility Service Bill, Senate File 3535, that's Senator Ports, Commercial Property and the Clean Energy Program Modification, Senate File 4159, Taxpayer ID, Senator Dibble, that's your bill, Senate File 4579. We hope to have the stakeholder permitting bill available. Just for those that follow this, I have asked Senator Weber and Senator Matthews to sign on to that. That's an important bill that is presented as something that has large stakeholder consensus and is a result of the work group. Members, that's all good news I have for you today, unless anybody has a better thought.
Mr. Chair, I think you got those bill authorships reversed. But
I have Senator Dibble, Senate File 4579, Single Metered Utility
yes,
Service.
Yes, that's correct.
But I didn't say it that way the first time today. There it is. Look at everybody. All right. Thank you very much for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. We are adjourned.